It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to the Friday morning edition of Blues NHL Podcast. I'm your off-ice official. Let me welcome in my partner in crime, the one, the only
golf buddy.
Yeah, it was a day off around here yesterday and spent on the links. My man, Gary Henson.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, okay.
Anything happening in Blues?
Yeah. All right. So let's. I'm gonna start this off real simple. We're gonna have a great show for you today. Kimby will be with us today. Playing the leadoff role will be Kimby today. Then we'll go to Rivs.
Nice.
And you know you're gonna get some straight dope on these topics today from these guys because they've both been a part of things that have probably not went their way at times in the NHL. That being said, all right, here we go. Hey.
What?
I had as much fun the other night getting on the officials in the NHL as everybody else. I was upset. And yes, I called out this and that and brought up some points on Twitter that are valid. I thought were pretty good, actually. Now, that being said,
don't hurt yourself.
I want to say this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Say it.
A wise man once told me, never, ever put yourself in a position to let somebody else dictate your outcome.
I did tell you that.
No, it wasn't you. Oh. But...
Well, when you said wise man, I figured was me.
So I will say this. Their goaltender, who you misnamed 1,000 times.
Twice.
Made a couple of huge saves on us in the third period.
Yeah,
which
we
sucked.
Hit him with the puck.
Okay. And my man 17, who I do not want to bag on right now, has got to put the puck in the open net. And while I can't directly fault like the puck going in our net, when supposedly your best skating defenseman has open ice in front of him, why are we throwing it down the ice to bring it back into our end again?
Would that be 27?
Jesus criminy. Listen, everybody's bitching at him about the two icings. Let me tell you something. Number one, the first icing I got. No problem.
There's no reason to ice that second one.
That's ridiculous. Now
he had open, so listen. Say what you want. I have to put the disclaimer out all the time. I obviously know I'm not an NHL coach, and my team is not NHL caliber. But there are some principles that it doesn't matter if you're a mite at 5-6 or you're in the NHL that you need to understand to play this game hockey. And one of them is if there's open ice available in front of you, take it. And don't release the puck. Take the ice. You're taught that from when you're a little kid. We win that faceoff. It goes right to a guy who's known to be a great skater. And he just flips it down the ice. He had the complete weak side. He could have peeled off and taken the ice that was in front of him and released the puck when he got pressure. He didn't. He just flipped it down the ice. A bad decision.
And you can think we're crazy, but I promise you his coach isn't happy.
No, he's definitely not happy. He hinted at it in the press conferences. It's just, man, he's got to make better decisions, and he's got to be in better position. And And I get maybe I'm just focused on him because and seeing, you know, and focused on him so much. I don't know. But here's, I'm just going to tell you, like, as somebody who's done it, coached for 29 years and somebody who's still coaching today, I have the ability to see a lot of ice. I'm say what you want about that. But the reality is when he let go of that puck, In my head, I was like, why are you doing that? No one's ever taught you that. I said, well, that's last podcast about something else.
And listen,
nobody's ever said, ice the puck.
I want to say this, okay? Because I know, because you and I, we're quote unquote bagging on him all the time. I understand what he's good at, and I can appreciate that, okay? But here's my thing. If we were just wanting to be pretty good, that'd be okay. But we're trying to win a freaking Stanley Cup here. Guys that wear your C and are supposed to be number one defensemen can't make mistakes like he makes game in and game out. It pisses me off. I'm sorry. Pisses me off.
Me too.
So, me too.
He made two big mistakes.
And you know what? Here's the deal. Nobody gives a shit what we think anyway.
And Rivers gives a shit so he can dog on us.
But I'll tell you who I care what you think about Randy Green from InnovativeCompanies.com. He is a tremendous human being that supports our show in a big way, folks. And a lot of you guys out there are involved in things where you have to make decisions about who you're going to use for certain projects, whether they're residential, commercial, or industrial. He's got a tremendous construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team. If you are that person out there that makes that decision, please give Randy Green from InnovativeCompanies.com an opportunity for your business. Tell him about, you know, hearing everything we say on Blues NHL podcast, because it would mean a lot to us, as he, you know, is really one of the big reasons why we're able to do this show each week. Another guy that we're happy to have on board is my friend Noel Buckingham. I want to personally apologize to the Buckinghams because I keep saying Buckingham Pest Service. It's Buckingham Pest Control, and I don't want anybody to Google it or type it in and screw it up. So from now on, I'm going to do a better job. It is Buckingham Pest Control, all right? So listen, tremendous pest control. See, they do pest control, but it
so
is.
You messed up a name too then.
Absolutely.
You dogged me.
Yeah, only mine was probably more important than you guys screwing up a name of a hockey player.
True.
And I do want to apologize to them because they're a big part of our support. Great people that are once again giving away Game 6 tickets.
Crazy.
And all you got to do is go to their Facebook page, Buckingham Pest Control. Make sure you check out how you can win these tickets. There's no excuse for you not to enter this contest. Doesn't cost you a thing.
Yeah, if you don't enter this contest, there's something wrong
with you. There is something wrong with you. Now, remember, our friends at Buckingham Pest Control do not kill penalties, but they do kill pests and pass along the savings to you. And just like the rest of them, we're asking you to support their business. That's our friend, Noel and Kristen Buckingham. Thank you so much for your continued support. Best barbecue in St. Louis, Adam Smokehouse. Get over there and try it out. You guys will not be disappointed. The atmosphere is awesome. The staff is tremendous. And the food is flat out great. And you're going to get good barbecue at some in some other places in town. But personally, I think it's the best. That's my friend Mike over at Adam's Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. St. Louis, or Synergy Hockey Skills, thank you for your continued support. Riz will be on a little bit later. He'll tell you what they got going on. Awesome stuff, as always. Means a lot to us as a group, as we try to continue this show and keep moving forward. So we're very blessed to be associated with a lot of great people here on the show. Speaking of the devil, that sound can only mean one thing. Somebody wants in, so we better let him in. Kimby, my man, are you loving your intro music?
Oh, baby, that's all about right there. But I watched that man for a long time, so he was the man in wrestling after. Like, I like Bret Hart, but he was after the Hartster.
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners liked it too. We got a lot of Stone Cold gifts in reply, so that was good stuff. Man, Game 3 was a dandy, and you talk about a roller coaster of emotions from a fan's perspective. I mean, laying it out on the table, you come home, you now control the series from a home ice standpoint, if that means anything anymore. The crowd is like the roof is blowing off the place, and in my opinion, you basically come out and shit the bed the first period. Sorry, but that's what it was. But then you come out and you absolutely dominate the second period. I mean, dominate it, right? The third period, you dominate it, but don't get what you need. And that is that put away goal, which we got to take our hat off. Their goalie, who we've been all over a little bit.
Martin Jones.
Yeah. Made a few unbelievable saves. And then our man Schwartz, I mean, he misses an open net from the blue line, basically, right?
Yeah.
And I got this awful sinking feeling in my stomach when that happens. They get a goal that shouldn't happen. And then we, and I want to say this, and I know you're going to go right into it, but yes, is the hand pass thing the most ignorant thing I've ever seen? Is it the dumbest thing? Is it? Yes. But a wise man once told me a long time ago when I was young, and it was my college baseball coach, and I was complaining about my at-bat, and he looked at me and said, listen, do not put your result in the hands of an official in any sport. You put yourself in that position, not on strike three. It was strike one and two that got you out. Same thing here. Okay, yes, they fucked up. But the reality of it is the Blues put themselves in a position to have a game dictated that way.
Yeah. And everything that you're saying, Chrome, is spot on. And you know what? The officiating, we could do a whole fucking about three segments on this. These motherfuckers, the way they're getting away with nonsense and to do what they're doing. But you know what? The St. Louis Blues, the position they're in right now, and we can talk about what they could have did, should have, would have, and all that nonsense. But they're in a fucking predicament right now where they need this game. So whatever the hell they went through and all the emotion they threw on the table and slamming their sticks against the glass and everything, I like that because they're pissed off and now they're going to want to come back and play here. So, yeah, things didn't go our fucking way. Yeah, we had a way to fucking win the hockey game. It didn't happen. The referee fucked us. Good job, referee. Hopefully he don't ref another game, which I don't think he will. So that's another good sign. But now the Blues got to worry about this fucking game here. Cause if they lose this one here, not many guys come back from 3-1. I think it's been done maybe 8 or 9 times, and not very much in the history of the National Hockey League. So they have to find a way. Thank God they had a day off. Cause if you would have had to come back the next day, that probably shit's still lingering on you. Now they've had a day to get rid of it, get back out and practice. I'm pretty sure. And I know Berube, even after the game, was talking, you know what it is. You're going to be pissed off about the situation, but we move on. Cause that's what you got to do in playoff hockey. You move on. And whether you win it on a big note or a low note, you have to move on. So tonight, they got to be, and like you said, game three, Chromes, the first fucking period was not what the Blues needed the other night in game three. So game four, we're at now. Now bring all that shit, put it on the table the first game here. See if you can run San Jose out, because they're probably thinking they're going to get fucked by the referees now because they've been given every damn thing in the world, right? So they're going to be wondering what's going on here. So you need to fucking put the pedal to the metal right from the get-go, stay on the body and keep hammering these guys and, you know, keep going about the way you're going. Play like the second and third period, and this shouldn't even be a contest tonight.
I was going to say, for me, like, if you're going to look at anything as a, man, I hate to use this word, if you're going to look at anything as a positive from that game, it is the fact that if we want to, and it is funny to say this about the Blues because you feel like when you play against a team that's a little bigger than you that it would be the other way around. But I feel like the Blues can impose their will on San Jose based off that last 40 minutes and the part of overtime before the goal. 5-on-5, stuff like that. We wind up getting a power play goal, which made me think, man, maybe the heavens are opening up here. But the truth of the matter is I feel like we can impose our will on them and we can wear them down. But I don't think you can go out and just kind of roll through the first period again. How does that happen, Kimby? You're at home. It's a raucous crowd. The place is crazy. The building's about to fall in. It's so crazy. And you go out and shit the bed in the first period. I don't understand how that can happen. And here's the thing. The fact that it did happen makes me sit here and go, why can't it happen again? Even though we all think, no way they'll do that again.
You know, you live in St. Louis, and you've been a Blues fan for a long time, and there's been many of them out there, and you know how this fucking story goes. If they get a goal, it just sort of, they scored first, which was fucking really big for San Jose. They score second, pretty well deflated the whole fucking arena for a while. So they got off to a bad start, but they found a way to pump it back up, which was huge. You know, they fought back and, you know, circumstances, whatever happened being, did it that way. So, you know, you come back home. This Blues team, realistically, and I said this prior, when they're playing Winnipeg and when they're playing Dallas, I thought that some points in time on the majority of the series, it was like 60-40 in favor of the other team. And the Blues were winning this. Now, Blues had some good games in both those series, but I didn't think they were overall. I thought the other teams were playing better than they were. This series here is totally opposite. I believe they're all playing San Jose right now. They're a better hockey team right now. They're playing it. San Jose's finding, you know, the goal scoring shit, and the referee shit. Everything's going their way, but it's the Blues. Just if they could keep coming out, we got to get Patty Maroon back on the track here. Start causing some shit again. Get him going back in the force. And I'm not calling him out. You know, he's trying his damnedest. But that line, Bozak, Lyon, and him, they need to keep rolling here. You got the fourth line's going like crazy now. So, you know, and Chief probably needs to ride them a little harder because shit's working in their favor right now. And, you know, and then we get Tarasenko finally to score. So maybe he comes out of this thing. But I just think it's there for them to have. And this thing could work out good, Cromes. And I was thinking the other night, and I was watching the Boston Bruin game, and I'm a Boston Bruin fan. I'm alumni for them, so I play for them, and I like Boston, but now they've won the series. If the St. Louis Blues keep tracking here, you might not play a game for 10 fucking games, or 10 days over there for the Bruins. You could be sitting there. If the Blues come out through here and keep fighting this animal out, this could line up pretty good for them, man.
It can be scary. Yeah, I agree. I didn't mind.
Don't be a downer, Gary, for fuck's sake.
No, I'm not being a downer. But
that downer voice, pump it up a little bit.
I'm tired. Kramer had me playing golf all day yesterday.
I had you. I believe you invited me.
So anyway, so I was happy to see Boston win because I want him to sit around. I want Tuukka Rask to cool down. And I do think it sets up good. For the Blues, I think here's what I truly believe that this happened and it sucks, but it happened, and I think it's going to. I told Jimmy this yesterday. I told Crumbs this yesterday. I think what you're going to see is the Blues at another level. For whatever reason, this goal happened. It happened. And maybe it was one of those things that's supposed to wake a team up, because I don't disagree with you. I don't think some of the guys on the team were playing their best hockey. And I think now everyone's going to be playing their best hockey. And I think the Blues team is going to roll from here. That's really, I truly believe that in all my heart. I told Jimmy, I wouldn't be surprised if they roll them tonight and just bury them the rest of the time, because you know how it is, Kimby. You know, when you feel you got screwed, and you have a chance to redeem that. That's why you guys are professionals, is because you guys are the kind of people that go and attack those sort of situations. The rest of us are just normal people, and we may have killer instinct and this and that and the other. However, I know enough of you pro athletes, and I know you all have a couple common things, but one thing in particular is none of you have a loser mentality. Not one pro I've ever met has a loser mentality. And the other thing you guys all have in common is if you feel like you got screwed, you all, because you're the best in the world, respond in a way that shows why you're the best in the world. And I think that's going to happen for the Blues team.
And here's what the key to me on this whole thing is, guys. The Blues are pissed off, but they're not pissed off at any of their players, which is really big. So
right.
someone on the Blues didn't fuck them here. You know, a referee gets in the way and a call's made. So they have a way to, the hate is going in a different direction right now. So now the Blues are sitting in the locker room saying, fuck, it's us against the world, guys. We got to fucking find a way to fucking get through this process. So the only thing that is going to get in their way, if you get another Jagov zebra come into the building and start fucking doing some stupid shit again, is that's going to play in their minds. And hopefully that don't happen. Hopefully they fucking can just call this game the way it's supposed to be called. But if the Blues can come out and get on fire here and the referees stay out of the hell of the way and let this game go about and get a win, and we all know the Blues play better on the road anyway right now. So they're a better team on the road. So they're a long way for this thing. They need this game, though. They can't go down 3-1. They need this game. It's a must-win. And I just think they have all the right reasons to win this game. And it's not that they're not going against individuals. They're going against the fucking league right now and a referee system that fucked them.
Exactly. So the hate may be a strong word, but I'm going to use it anyway. External hate is way better than internal hate. and they have
fucking hate.
Right. And they have external hate right now. And for a group like the Blues, and to a man, they all describe how close that team is and how they work for each other. Man, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't want to be San Jose. I'm telling you, I would not want to be San Jose. San Jose got a gift, and I'm not sure they're going to want it after what's going to happen tonight, because I believe it's just – I believe these Blues are going to roll.
Yeah, and they got some – you know, you got a question with someone's got to fill in for Dunn. If they called out who's going in there, I don't know who is going in. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen yet. I've been looking all day. I think it's funny that – you know, I think it's funny when the Blues put out, you know, that he has an upper body injury. Well, thanks, because none of us saw him got drilled in the face with the puck.
Yeah,
man, he went down.
Yeah, but I mean, so he's gone now. So that's a process. That's a hole we got to fill. And he was playing pretty good hockey for you. So, you know, I don't know if Gunnarsson comes in. I don't know if Delzato is going to come in. I imagine they go to Gunnarsson before Delzato, but I could be wrong. So we'll. I know your next guy that you're talking to, Rivers, he'll probably have the idea on that, but no, he will, because he's been around the circle. Yeah, but I understand. So there's a hole that needs to be filled. So someone's got to come in, and I just think the emotions should be able to run this fucking animal tonight. They should be able to, if they keep him in the right way and come out and get a start and just steamroll him, I think this should work out fine.
Yeah, and they got something else going for him too. And I know he made some big saves, but the puck – hit and notice people. I say Martin Jones. The puck hit Jones. I mean, now granted, he put himself in a goalie position in the right position. I'm not going to take away that from him. But the Blues, you know, Kimby, you've hit goalies with pucks. Now, granted, they were in the right spot, but it's not necessarily like he makes it safe. But he's getting worse as the playoffs get longer. He's getting worse, and I think they're going to light him up tonight.
Yeah, I tell you what, this to me, and I fucked up last time because I called out Joe Thornton and he went on fucking scored two goals. So that sort of made me a little upset at myself. But this game tonight to me, and I don't care what anyone says, and Ribs can come on and tell you all the fundamental. This is all about the St. Louis Blues today. This has got nothing to do with fucking San Jose. And the Blues, in their own mind, go to the rink, line up, put their fucking bootstraps on, and go to work and keep playing the way they're playing, they should be able to handle this game without a problem.
Well, Kimby, I know your time's limited today, but we wanted to get you on. Hopefully next week we're doing another show and we're knee-deep in what appears to be heading into a seven-game series, and it should be an exciting time six. For Blues fans. Six. Yep. I like it. Okay, six. Hopefully we're talking about that, but we do want to thank our friends, your close friends, the Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com, for their continued support of our show. We talk about Stephanie and her contributions, especially in that amateur world, and now dedicating her time to that St. Louis group that's doing a lot of work to assist any kid that's playing hockey in this area that. You know, comes down with this awful disease. I mean, it's just terrible. But no better person I can think of than Stephanie to get involved in this, because that means it's going to get taken care of.
Yeah. No, she's doing a fine job, and I know that their boy actually, he's trying out with Rivers right now. Whether he stays there or not, I don't know what's going to go on. He might still go back to AAA Blues, but Rivers has got him going on right now. So we got tryouts, and I know Steph, with the program that she's in there is an unbelievable program that they're running, and it helps out so many people. So, kudos to her for putting up the hard work.
Well, great stuff as always, my man. We're going to let you get back at it. I know you're on the grind today. And like I said, let's hope next week we're talking about an eventual game that can get us into that cup finals that we seek.
Yep.
All right, brother.
I plan on being in the studio Monday, so let Mr. Riz know. We're going to line it up.
Hey, I'll tell him that you said, can you pry yourself? Hey, how about last night in our text? He can't even read. Did you like my response? I thought that was good.
Yeah, you say the man's got a lot going on right now. He's fucking WKRP in Cincinnati.
Les
Nessman.
I know. Yeah,
that's who he is, so let him go.
Oh, boy. All right, man.
All right, guys.
Take care, pal. All righty.
Bye-bye.
The great, and I don't mind saying the great, Kimby. That's, hey, there we go, the great Kimby.
Yeah, if you want plain
Oh, yeah.
If you want plain, upfront, straight talk to your face, that's the guy to go to.
Well, it isn't like Rivs doesn't give us that, too, but, you know, he
Rivs,
does.
He's got to be careful what he says, you know? Media darling, he just can't be running off at the mouth.
Yeah, but hang on. I don't mean this in a bad way.
You know what?
Some of the things that we may disagree with him on that could come across as him towing the company line, he's not doing it to tow the company line. He believes, like, his analysis and his expertise lead him to believe that we're crazy.
Well, you keep thinking that. I'm not going down there. I got a lot to say about
Not that. With him on the line anyway, no, you're not going to do that? Line. Oh, man.
I'll say it when I'm far away.
That's funny. Anyway, let me tell you, it's a lot of fun to have Kimby on, and we do want to thank him. All the people that make this show possible. You heard us talk about the NelsonLandServices.com, the great locally rated, great five-star locally rated Say landscaping that company fast. That deserves an opportunity for your business. Please do so. Like I said, I can't say enough about them as a family before this, but I mean, just think about a family that would take their time and dedicate it the way they have, especially to such an important cause. So that's NelsonLandServices.com. Our friends, the Nelsons, great people. Give them an opportunity for your business. Rolling with my man, of course, the great Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, heating and cooling, construction team, electric team, all ready to go, taking care of residential, commercial, and industrial issues for you. Get him involved in the process early. He will look you in the eye and tell you the truth. If you got a problem on your hands, he's going to tell you. If it's something he can do, he's going to tell you. If it's something he's going to tell you that we need to go a different way, he's going to do that too. And that's the main thing that we hear about him. From people is, hey, he's exactly who you said he is. He's a 35 years experienced craftsman, second generation, and folks, just an all-around great guy and deserves an opportunity for your business. And we do appreciate everything he's done for us. So please check out our man, Randy Green, at InnovativeCompanies.com. To the best barbecue in St. Louis, Adam's Smokehouse. You won't find better barbecue in town. You will find good barbecue. I'm not going to lie about that. Good barbecue places. But folks, the best in St. Louis is located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do big box lunch orders. They do catering. And folks, they do deliver to certain zip codes, so you can find out simply by giving them a call. But I would suggest going in, checking out the atmosphere. It's got that barbecue atmosphere. The staff is awesome. They make sure that you're taken care of from the time you get there to the time you leave. And most importantly, they will provide you with the best barbecue you've had in town. St. Louis, it's Adam's Smokehouse. Here's your cue. All right. Well, I mean, as this whole thing plays out here, Hindu, and I look at how Kimby feels about it, I'm curious. Before he comes on, let's play What's Jamie Gonna Say?
What's Jamie Gonna Say?
Yeah, let's play What's Rivs Gonna Say?
Well, I think he's gonna say, I think he's gonna obviously address the thing. Let's just call it the thing.
The thing.
I think he's gonna address the thing. I think he's gonna talk about it's over, move forward. I don't think he's going to spend a lot of time on it, honestly.
Does it really do any good at this show? Other than the fun part of calling the league
a total... Well, that's what we do.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's... Listen, like we said at the beginning, we can have fun with that. And the point is, it's real. It happened. And it's unacceptable.
And it's not small. I mean, Brind'Amour is answering questions about it, but on his press conference before his game yesterday. You know, like... So Brind'Amour, I mean, everybody who's sitting in front of a microphone.
Very well spoken. Very, for people that don't remember Rob Brind'Amour, but for the people that do remember Rob Brind'Amour, I was impressed with that. I mean, he is a very well spoken. I thought he put his words together very well in this instance to discuss something that's a real problem for the league. I was impressed with it.
Yeah, when you're going into a game four where you might get swept. I mean, I think, but that's how big it is. It's big enough that if you're any part of the NHL right yesterday and you had to sit in front of a microphone, somebody asked you a question about it. So it's a big deal. I think it's not a deal we worry about now. Jamie's going to worry about now. I think he's going to touch on it quickly, and I think he's going to move on to what the keys for tonight are. I keep looking on my phone because everyone knows I'm on my phone. So I keep looking on my phone to see who's in the lineup for Dunn tonight, and I haven't found it yet. But maybe you can do that while you while we're talking.
I'm trying to see that if anything's in yet.
They have four choices, but one's a rookie. So I doubt that's a choice. But they have Butler, they have Delzato, and they have Gunnarsson. And
I mean,
Gunny's health may come into play on that. I don't think he's completely healthy.
Isn't that the only issue, is if Gunny's not healthy? Otherwise, it's got to be Gunny, right?
Yeah, but if there's an issue, who is it? Butler or Delzato? Like, Butler's got a lot of familiarity there.
He does. You know what, though? I didn't mind Delzato's game. I was
he was more physical than I thought.
I'm not going to say I was, well, I mean, maybe I was surprised. But I didn't know what to expect, right? And when he played, when he was put in, I was like, because remember when we got him, we were all kind of like, are you serious with this? And then, you get talked off the ledge because it's like, guys, it's a depth signing.
Man, you spend a lot of time on the ledge.
You know, this is what, I'm not talking about me in general. I'm talking about the base. I don't care if they sign a guy that's going to sit in the press box. It doesn't matter to me. Trade a nothing for a guy like that. My point was, is that it came, you know, when you looked at it, you thought, okay, here's a depth signing. And then when he did get in the game and play, because like Riff said at the time, I'll never forget him saying this, they're going to work him in on this trip. They didn't trade for him. And while he may wind up in the press box eventually for multiple, multiple weeks in a row, they're going to get him in a game. And then when he did play, I think we were like, okay, here we go, right?
Right.
And I didn't think he played bad. I thought he actually did okay. Now, I think his first shift or two was awful, if you remember that. Something happened. I don't remember what it was. But then after that, I thought the rest of the game he played really well, and every other time he played after that, I thought he was okay. He just wasn't really better than what we had, in my opinion.
No, but again, you bring in guys like that for these exact scenarios.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why he's here. And so
I don't know. I don't care. There's
don't
no
care
way they don't play Gunny if he's healthy. I mean, let's face it. It was Gunny or whoever.
I'm going to just be honest. I don't care who it is. I'm curious, but I'm not going to have an opinion on who it is. I think the obvious choice is Gunny if he's healthy. What I will tell you is I don't think it matters. This lineup change matters. Now, granted, Dunn was playing great, in my opinion. But I think it goes back to what Kimby and I were discussing. I think there are a lot of really good hockey players and some superstars on this team that you're going to see another level of hockey from them today. And I think it's going to carry. I believe this. I think they're, like Kimby said, I think they're going to just dominate tonight just because of the external hate they can give, or, you know, that's going on in that room. Everybody in that room was tight, and now something bad happened to the entire group. So that entire group now becomes tighter and more pissed off together, and they're looking at each other, and they're not going to want the guy next to him, not going to want to let him down, and they're looking each other in the eye. And I'm telling you, I'm going with this is the blessing in disguise thing. That's what I'm going with.
Oh my Lord! Well,
I am. You're rosying
it up, man.
I'm excited.
Hendy, you're rosy.
I got chills.
I did too just now.
I'm telling you, man.
I mean, you put your chair on market a while back. I was shocked.
I'm telling you.
Is it still there?
Hell yeah, it's there. I just don't.
How many times in your blues history? That's a new word. You like that? That's for those out there listening. Bluesistry is a way of merging blues and history.
Yeah,
obviously.
We got it. Come on.
And it's your own personal. How long have you been a fan? So you're 50 already, unlike me, who's not 50 yet.
Whatever.
Were you a fan
you're
out of the womb?
You're in your 50th year.
Probably. You came out of the womb a blues fan. Maybe let's go five.
No, I have an autograph from Gasoff, and that was like 72, so it's three.
Okay, three.
I think
so. 47
I think we have pictures of me with Unger and Gasoff in those
47
guys.
Years.
Yeah, let's just say. Just
my first thing was a Red Berenson autograph book on how to play hockey.
You should have read it.
Okay.
Sometimes it just comes flying out. I don't even know
so,
what I'm saying.
So, that being said, so in your 47 years.
Yeah.
of blustery.
Yeah, I've never felt like they were going to win.
How many times? You've never put your chair on market?
No.
Not even?
No, not once.
Not when Gretzky was there. And I'll tell you,
no.
Okay.
And the reason why it was Detroit.
Just had the...
They were monsters. Yeah, look at that team. Yeah, like, yeah. Holy crap, you know? I thought, you know, and Gretzky, you know, like he was 20, 25 second shifts. Like he was at the end, you know, and granted he was good when for those 20 seconds. But, yeah, I didn't feel like it then because Detroit was such a monster. And then remember when the Blues were just dominant and then they made that like five player deal at the deadline and Butcher and all them guys showed up?
Yeah, I remember that.
I just thought that
crushed.
Yeah, I didn't even understand that, and I was just a kid, and I was just that didn't make any sense to me. I've never felt like in my 47 years that I've ever felt like I feel now, which is I feel like it's theirs. I really do. I feel like it's theirs.
Well, it's
and I think what can be brought up is genius. Boston is going to be sitting around for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're on a roll, you want to stay on a roll.
Yeah, no, I agree. I will say the whole thing to me is amazing. Like the hard part for me right now is this: I haven't lost faith, haven't changed any of my opinion. I still believe what I believe. I think the Blues can impose their will on them. That's what it feels like to me. But what I will say is this: the emotional roller coaster that we're all on as Blues fans has never been more heightened than it is right now. And the reason you think about that is because I keep going back to this, and I'm not saying it to be a dick to Schwartz, because I am so happy how Jaden Schwartz has played in the playoffs. Even if he doesn't wind up on the score sheet, I think his game has been really, really good. Now, has he made a mistake or two? They all do. And I mean, listen, the other team's playing too, right?
There's a couple of them.
Okay, the other team's playing too, right? So they're trying to do their thing. That stuff happens. But it is freaking amazing to me how I know exactly how I felt inside with about a minute and a half left in the game, whatever it was, thinking we are literally two wins away from going to the cup.
Yeah.
And we're six wins away from having a fucking parade on Market Street. Six wins.
I understand.
Okay. Two, watching him miss the open net and my stomach sinking. My heart completely sinking.
Well, then
sinking.
I'm going to blame you for...
Okay? Going, that there's no way that doesn't hurt us. And when they scored that tying goal, I officially knew I was a jinx.
You're not a jinx. That
God.
Stuff doesn't exist.
I'm telling you, when he missed that open net goal... Hey, have you ever had your heart broken?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know that feeling?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't care if it was a woman or a dog or whatever it was, right? Okay? The loss of somebody special. I don't care what it is, right? Yeah. And then listen, what's funny is we're here in the studio, and you know this beautiful room we built over here, right? This entertainment room, how awesome that is, right?
It is.
I was here by myself working in that room watching the game because I had so much to do, and I thought, I'm going to go sit up in the room. I'm going to pour myself a draft beer. There's nobody going to be there, and it was awesome. And I had the best time getting my work done watching the game. And when that happened, I felt like somebody, like my dog died.
Well, maybe, you know, knock it off is all I'm going to say.
I can't help it. What do you want? It happened.
And I criticized every once in a while because our people say I'm negative. I'm not negative.
I'm not negative either, but I just.
That's negative.
It's not negative.
It is too. For you to think you're jinxing the
Blues. I was kind of pissed.
You to think you're jinxing the Blues and like,
listen,
oh my God. Yeah, of course we
I've
want
watched
to score
guys.
Empty. Here's what I don't like about the empty net thing.
What?
Andrew Sharp, right?
Yeah.
Is it Andrew Sharp? No.
What?
Patrick Sharp.
And
Andrew Shaw.
Who's
Andrew Shaw? This is why I use numbers.
I mean,
I'm terrible at first
what
names.
What are we doing?
I'm terrible at first names.
Kimby can't pronounce them. You can't remember them.
But here's the thing. I don't care.
I know.
I don't care about them enough to know their first name. Patrick Sharp. He said this.
Yep.
And so did our boy Joey Vitale, who I really like. They both said, yeah, I know Schwartz missed that open net, but that's harder than it looks. No, it's not.
Listen,
no, it isn't.
I told
Stop
you this,
that.
And I and when
Stop
we were playing
that.
Golf,
quit protecting.
I should have left on a high note yesterday
because I'll tell
what
you
I told
who didn't
you
protect him is the coach. He's not happy with two people from the other night.
Oh, no. He's not happy with two people. And you can say their numbers.
That's 17-27.
Yeah, he's not happy with either one of them.
He's not happy with them at all.
So
he's not happy with the fact that 90 was the low guy on the tying goal.
Yeah, we talked about this last night.
Talk about it. Look at him. He's yelling at him.
Yeah.
He's pissed when they go to that locker room. And it's because 19-27, we're out of position.
It is funny, though, because the whole thing that I had you, I actually had you laughing in my synopsis of the whole thing. Because like I told you, I have seen drunk guys get called down between periods and stand at center ice with a stick and no skates and no gloves. And I've seen a guy.
They hit the net.
I've seen a guy actually put it through the little 3-inch hole that a puck barely fits in to win a car.
Yeah, but.
But one of the best players in the world can't put it in an empty net from the blue line.
Obviously.
Sharp and it ain't like.
Obviously, Sharp and Vitaly are ex-pros and know the ins and outs. Piss me off.
I get it. Whatever.
Give me a break.
Shit, we've pissed him off. You can hear it. When you hear that's an ominous tone. And it always makes me think we've said something and he's heard it.
It makes me a little uneasy.
Well, it should.
He's going to call me stupid.
Darth, are you there?
I am here, young Cromer.
I got to ask you. It's funny because every time your intro music plays, I think Hindu and I look at one another with that look like we've said something that he's telepathically picked up on.
It feels like you've been called in the principal's office.
Yeah, like that's what it feels he's going to disagree with our opinion on something and he can't take it anymore. And so he's calling in. I mean, that's how we feel. Do you get an uneasy feeling that Hindu and I are rolling on the recording and you've got to come on here? You can't take it anymore?
Every time you guys say something stupid, there's a little red light that goes off at my house. The problem is that red light never, ever shuts off.
Yeah, just like so it just gets brighter.
I know that you guys have to have been talking, pretty dumb in order for me to actually call in and get on with you guys. So let's hear it. What's our problem today?
No, there is ask Kimby. There is no problem with the Henson camp today. I'm telling
ask Kimby. Have you guys got old Buffalo Head in there today?
No, but we talked to him earlier.
But you are second fiddle today. Second string.
You know what it is. You never follow a better act. So Kimby had to go first. You can't follow. Follow better.
He's got a new nickname for you, too. He's got a new nickname for you, too, by the way.
He does.
It was in his text. He says you're Les Nessman from WKRP in Cincinnati with your jackets and all your media appearances.
He didn't even mention your hairline.
He's got to get the character right. Herb Tarlick.
Oh my God! Yeah,
all the fancy jackets.
Yeah, there you go. That is.
But he was the sales guy. He wasn't on air. I'm Herb Tarlick. I get Jono calls me Herb Tarlick all the time around here. But
you wish.
Ribs. Here's what I think.
He's going right at him.
Wait a minute. Wait. Pause.
Pause.
Shut up. Here's what I think. We can mention what the NHL will be doing about it. Who cares? I really believe, and Kimby hit on it first, if there's something about a group of men or women on a team when they're a very tight group, when they work for one another, which is what this Blues team is doing, and then something external happens to them, not internally in the room, outside, and it happened to them collectively, I always think that moves a team forward in most cases. And I really believe, and I said this to Kimby, I really believe professional athletes display this all the time. It's one of the things that makes you all different from the rest of us. And it's that whole, I can raise my game to another level. I've never hit that glass ceiling. And I think when bad things happen to a close-knit team from the outside, they respond. And that's what I think this Blues team is going to do. I think they're going to roll this series, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, look, the adversity is really the true dictator of what you have for a team or a company or anything, even a family. at that for that point.
It, right.
When you face adversity, it either drives everybody apart, which means you weren't that close to begin with, or it brings everybody together and more focused and more powerful. And so I think that this group has faced so much adversity this year that, you know, they've been pushed together. They're really tight. And now this is like the cherry on top. It's like,
right.
I don't want to say the final thing because, you know, the season's not over. We don't know. There could be more adversity that lies ahead.
Hope not.
Hope not. But this is certainly one of epic proportions. So, you know, the emotions that were displayed after the game the other night, and then for all of the players, as well as Craig Berube, and everybody to be on the same page, and we all know how angry they were. We all know how, you know, pissed off they are at the call and how they feel like they've been cheated. But they stuck together, and they just said the same thing. Don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. It is what it is. We're moving on. Next game. Next game. I think, like you said, Gary, I think that the next game, which is tonight, I think they're going to come out, I mean, like their ass is on fire. I'm telling you, I think that these guys are mad. I think that they want to leave absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that they're the better team. And I think they want to leave an exclamation point for the league and the referee that we don't need your fucking help. We're going to do this shit on our own.
Yeah. So two things. One is I wouldn't want to be San Jose tonight. Just saying. And another thing is, you can see the confidence in this team and the maturity in this team and the togetherness in this team through the interviews after the game and yesterday. They are all on the same page. They all believe what they're saying. They're saying it with conviction that they don't give a shit what happened in game three. Obviously, it affected them, but they're on game four now. And to a man, they weren't towing the company line, in my opinion. They were saying what they really feel because you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their face, and people can say whatever they want about my impression of that, but I believe in this Blues team more now than I've believed in any Blues team in my 47 years of being a fan. I think what I saw in those press conferences was as impressive a thing as I think I've ever seen given the circumstance.
Well, they're just focused, right? And so, like you said, they say things with conviction, and that goes back to when Craig Berube took over in November. You know, when everybody thought he was maybe a little bit crazy, he said, "This is a good team. We're a good hockey club. We're not playing the way we can. This group is better. They have more." And, you know, I think we all thought at one point, well, you know, I guess he has to say that. Like you said, towing the company line, you know.
Right.
But no, he actually believed it, and he passed that on to the players, and they started to believe, and then they started to perform and change and get better and play more dominantly. And now the group that's inside that locker room, and I'll include the coaches, the trainers, the equipment guys, the video coach, everybody that's in there, they all believe in the same thing, and they're all on a mission right now. And it's amazing when you have that buy-in. It really is. Sometimes you have players, you don't have staff, the coaches, like there's always usually some piece of the puzzle that's like, I don't know, I'm on the fence. To me, this is a group that from top to bottom believes that this is their year, that this is their destiny to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals and try to rewrite history and make themselves one of the best stories to ever happen in the NHL. This group believes that. So if they believe it, why would I not fucking believe in it too?
Right.
And I'm going to.
I'm going to believe in it. And just not to totally switch gears, but we were talking about, Jimmy and I were talking about before you came on, about who's going to replace Dunn. I think, you know, obviously they have like four options, but one's a young guy. I think they have the three. They have Gunny, and we can't find who they've said, so maybe you know, but Gunny and Delzato and Butler, they have those options. And I'm going to tell you, those three guys are chomping at the bit to be a part of this. And what I mean by that is be a part of this resurgence, this whole next level, because they were up in the press box and got to see what happened too. And those young men have a chip on their shoulder as well. So I love the fact that there's some new blood coming into the lineup that can join them with the, you know, everybody's blood's boiling right now. I think every part of that, this is a blessing in disguise.
Well, we've talked about it for a long time that the Blues are really, they're fortunate with their depth. And, you know, just to go over a few things here is their four lines that they have up front have all played huge parts in different games and sometimes in the same game. But the consistent storyline out of that is that on any given night, any line can carry the team. And, you know, the other night, Alexander Steen and Barbie and Sonny, they had a hell of a game for the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko gets on the scoreboard again, and that's nice to see. But then you dive into the defense court. And I said this before the series started, was they're 6D plus deep.
Yeah.
And we all know that they have eight NHL defensemen that were on their roster to finish the season. And that would include, if we had Dunn in the lineup, you have Gunnarsson and Delzato that were the healthy scratches at that point. Well, then you have to also add Chris Butler, like you said, who's an NHL defenseman. I don't care where he's played the majority of the last 2 years. He's still an NHL defenseman because when he comes up here, he plays well enough to where you don't even notice that he's in the lineup. And to me, that's a guy that has no problem playing in the National Hockey League. Now, to go one step further, so now that's 6+3. On defense, you got Mitch Rinke,
yeah,
who is your, you know, young, up and coming, puck moving, power play type player, a lot like a Brian Rafalski used to be in New Jersey, and you know now he's an option. You know, he's in the bullpen. You may not use him, but he's in there, and so now you've got four extra guys that you can tap on the shoulder. Now I do believe that Carl Gunnarsson is coming in tonight. In fact, I know he is.
Okay, good.
You know, he's healthy and he's ready to go, and he's going to be paired up with Robert Bortuzzo for the game. And I like that because Bort gets a little crazy up there sometimes. He's an emotional guy. And I think Gunny's always a real settling influence on anybody he plays with. So, and trust me, I'm not knocking Robert Bortuzzo. No, I think he's awesome. I love him. But yeah, just to drag on my comment here on the depth, I mean, that's what we're looking at. And that's why I believe that this team, you know, you can't count them out ever.
No.
Because of the number of players that they have that are capable of playing at a high level.
Okay, so let's go back to the forward depth real quick because I want to talk about one particular play that I think sums up this young man's talent and what he will become in the NHL. And he's one of the guys I've believed in all year, and I'm on record saying it. 49 treated 65 like a punk on that goal. Like just
he's a bug off the windshield.
Just a punk. He just held 65 off, outskated him, outleveraged him, held him off with his strength, and made an incredible pass on that goal. 49 is the real deal.
Oh, he's great. I mean, you watch him out there. He's been laying guys out. He's been blocking shots. He kills penalties. He takes faceoffs. He's hard to play against, which is always good. You never want to have a guy people like out there. And on that play, yeah, it was awesome. You know, Erik Karlsson's a premier skating guy in the NHL and certainly probably going to make one of the biggest paydays in unrestricted free agency history for defensemen coming up.
Yeah.
But for that short period of time, he was a bug off the windshield for Ivan Barbashev and, you know, the lead guy there from the Three Musketeers with his waxed-up mustache didn't look too fucking hot there, did he?
No, not at all. And I'm going to tell you, if when the Blues go on, or as they go on and they what I've said before, as they dominate this series and as they move on, if the ultimate prize comes their way, I think you can look at that play because I think that play describes the whole Blues team. Because that was just nothing but I'm going to outwork you. I'm just going to beat you, and I'm going to outwork you. And I think that's true of all of these young men.
No, I agree. And I think you can also go back to game two in San Jose where everybody was aware that they didn't bring their A game in the first game.
Yeah.
And so the second game, they go out there, and they block shots like their life depended on.
Yeah.
You had guys, you know, laying out in front of pucks, guys that were, you know, uncharacteristically laying out in front of pucks, getting in the shot lanes. I mean, I've said it before, I was a shot blocker, so I know the mental torture that goes into that process. And I'm not joking. Like,
no, I know.
The mental torture is that you know it is going to hurt like hell but you're putting yourself in harm's way anyway. So you're literally, you know, like your mind is like, no, you shouldn't do this. And then the other half is like, you better get in front of this. And the other, the one little piece in the corner goes, hey, this is going to hurt. Like, but you do it anyway.
Oh, fucking funny.
So, I mean, I'm describing exactly what goes on, but that's what happens in a split second of time. And I've always said to any hockey player I've ever coached or played with or anything, if you're either a shot blocker or you're not.
Right.
And they look at you and they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, because if your brain tells you, when the guy winds up, if your brain tells you to get out of the way first, if that's the first instinct it has, you're not a shot blocker.
Right.
I said, if your first instinct is you've got to get any part of your body, including your face, your back, your leg, your foot, if your brain's telling you to get in front of the puck at that expense, then you're a shot blocker.
Right.
And, you know, it's like the old Air Force thing they said a long time ago, you know, courage is the guys that are afraid, but go anyway.
Right.
And
right.
That's kind of the deal with blocking shots is, you know, it's going to hurt, but you do it anyway.
Right. I think there's only one exception I've ever seen to that rule. And it was me. I didn't block the shot because I wanted to, and I didn't get out of the way because I didn't want to block the shot. It's just, I was so freaking slow. I couldn't do either.
Well, all right. We'll put an asterisk next to your name.
So that's why I got drilled. Man, speaking of block shots, man, I feel bad for the kid, but hopefully they kind of rebound, you know, they regroup around Vince Dunn too. I mean, tough injury. We all saw it. And hopefully this is kind of a rallying point.
He was
point.
Playing good, too. This just sucks.
Yeah, but
yeah, it sucks. I mean, I've had that exact thing happen. Not exactly the same way, but I got a Pavel Bure one time right in the face, right in the chin, and blew me open for like 17 stitches.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It sucks. I mean, you know, it hurts. But what Vince done, like, he's playing great hockey, and I love him. I wish he would have been in better position on that play, because if he is, then he doesn't get hit by the puck that way.
You know,
he ends up chasing his guy back to the net with his back to the play, and then he turns around to try and find the play, and well, he found the puck right in the face. And it's an unfortunate situation, and I'm not blaming him, trust me. So for anybody at home who's going, fuck you, Rivers, you asshole. first of all, thank you. But second of all, it's a shit thing, and what I really hate about it is that he was playing so good, and that he's a big part of it, guys. Like, he moves so well.
Yeah.
He moves the puck. He's a breakout machine when he's on his game. He skates out of trouble. He's a, you know, a zone entry machine when he's on his game, because he has speed to gain that blue line and create. So, look, he's listed as day-to-day. Now, take from that what you will in the playoffs, because even if a guy is laying in a hospital bed with the leg hanging off his body, they consider that a lower body injury day-to-day.
Yeah, we were just saying that.
You know? So we'll see. Hopefully he's truly day-to-day and that we see him sooner than later. But you know what? This goes back to the depth again.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling horrible because Carl Gunnarsson has to come in the lineup right now. And I think there's a little bit of a pat on the back for the guys, those five guys that played the other night. I mean, they literally played the whole game with five defensemen. They had 2 minutes, I think, is what Vince Dunn played. And you guys, I mean, you're well aware of how hard it is to play in the NHL, let alone at this time of the year. And going into overtime, I mean,
yeah, with the long change
on five guys.
Yeah, that's... That was tough. I thought they played well during the overtime, though.
I thought they did fine.
I mean, they did.
They couldn't beat the hand pass and the bad ref. That's always a tough combination.
I think one of the other pluses for the Blues going forward is that Boston sweeping, I believe, is a good thing. Because they're going to sit around and they're going to cool off.
I don't even look at that, Andy.
I know.
Don't even give a shit.
But
because,
I do.
You know what? Different teams. No, but different teams react different ways. Some teams thrive with rest, and some teams, you know, fall into a funk with rest. So, to me, you know, I've always maintained, and especially at this time of the year, I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm worried about what we're doing. And right now, this team, you know, has thrived in the adversity. Let's get through this series. And then if Boston, you know, if they have a couple of guys that go down to the Cape for the weekend and, you know, have a couple of cocktails and lay out or whatever, then so maybe it's to their detriment. Maybe it helps them. It really doesn't fucking matter.
Revs, do you want to fully address now, or you want to wait until an off-season show, the changes that have to be made in replay?
I don't really care about addressing it. I mean, it is what it is, guys. I don't think that there's any secret. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to Kerry Fraser yesterday. And
Name dropping. Listen to him. I love when he name drops.
That's all right. I name drop Rivers.
That's what we do. We name drop you, Rivs.
Jesus Christ. You guys need to up your game.
Whatever. I'm just saying. You ask anybody around us, they think you've been our best friend for 40 years.
But Kerry Fraser, who we all know is an official for like 30 years in the NHL, I mean, this guy, he blames the referee. You know, he doesn't blame the replay, and he doesn't necessarily think that more instant replay solves the problems. He seems to think that right now the problem is the NHL keeps getting younger and younger with their reps who have less and less experience, and they're not teaching them how to be where they should be located or what they should be looking for on the ice. And he does a great job. And anybody who follows Jeremy Rutherford, read his article with Kerry Fraser on the breakdown of that last play. And he goes over it in detail of how all four referees are pretty much in the wrong position, or they're looking at the wrong thing. So, you know, it's one thing to say replay. I agree, because the replay can't fuck it up usually, but you know, you do have humans out there, and they're supposed to be taught and be given the tools to handle every situation. I do think moving forward that any goal that's an overtime goal, period, should be forced to be reviewed. And I also feel like any goal that goes in should be allowed to be challenged by the coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, like if you say, but it has to be specific. You can't just say coach's challenge on the goal and you guys go figure out what I'm calling, right? No, it'll have to be like, hey, 27 seconds ago, that guy there, number 25, hand passed it in the neutral zone. It should have been blown dead, but you never did. So much like the offside rule where they can go back in time to fix the goal, you know, if the coaches have a challenge on any goal that goes in, but they have to be specific on it, then, you know, then let that happen. So once again, it takes the, you know, the onus off the referees per se. And if the coach is wrong, then, you know, he's wrong. He gets a penalty and all that stuff and whatnot. But if the coach is right, you know, then you have to pull the goal back.
Right.
It's the bottom line. And the referees, there's no gray area then.
Right.
I just think that it would solve a lot of problems.
Well, it obviously is a bigger issue than just this series, because if you were in any part of the NHL yesterday and you had to sit in front of a microphone, you were asked about that situation. So let me ask
you. I had a headache for hours last night because of all of the minutes I spent talking about that play.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
You were on everything. So let me ask you this, and I don't want to dwell on it. So
No, go ahead and ask me anyway.
Well, but we don't have to go on to like so quickly. If I hand pass it to you and you shoot the puck in, is it reviewable at that point?
It's not now, currently, no. What I'm suggesting is that no matter what, any play would be reviewable. And right now, the only thing that's reviewable, and this is the hard part to process for a lot of people, and the way the rule is written up right now, it's still confusing. But the only way a hand or puck advancement by a hand, and we'll get real technical here, is illegal or the goal can be reviewable is if somebody literally slaps the puck into the net across the goal line and, you know, or picks up the puck and throws it in the net. You know, that would be the only time that you could review it. Right now, because it's like a determined to be a hockey play,
right,
and it's not actually influencing the puck going over the goal line, it's a non-reviewable play. It's crazy.
Yeah, so what we were saying was We weren't sure because of the Carlson being the third party, because hand pass isn't reviewable. So what we were thinking was, when the hand pass was made and it hit the San Jose stick, whoever made the pass to Carlson,
Nyquist.
Okay, Nyquist. So when Nyquist got it, that's the hand pass part of it. So because that's the hand pass part of it, it can't be reviewed. And then Carlson shoots it in. But we were wondering, if Nyquist would have scored, would it have been reviewable? And you're saying no. Nyquist, or so that, was it Meyer?
Yeah, Meyer.
So Meyer would have just had to
He got a secondary assist on the play, by the way, which is classic.
So he should have just had it, thrown it in a net. But,
well, let me actually, hang on a second. Do Cromer, let me address that for a second, because people blew up my Twitter about that is, well, oh, look at this. They even credited a fucking assistant to Meyer. Yes, they had to. And let me explain why. It's because a lot of times the referees who are on the ice, they just see the goal scorer.
Right.
Because life with video has made it real easy for them. They see that Erik Karlsson scored. So they go, okay, goal by 65, and they skate away. And then the penalty box guys are on the microphone with the guys up in the review booth, and the review booth watches the playback about, you know, 10 seconds, and they see who the assists are. They call it down to the penalty box, and they just announce it over the loudspeaker. Now, the reason Meyer gets an assist is because it's a non-reviewable play. So it's not the scorekeeper's job to determine whether or not it was a hand pass. It's the scorekeeper's job to determine that, you know what, Timo Meyer touched the puck, so he gets an assist. I mean, yeah, it's salt in the wound, it's a slap in the face, it's a kick in the nuts, whatever you want to call it. But unfortunately, Timo Meyer gets a point because he touched the puck. It's not the scorekeeper's fault.
Yeah, so obviously it'll get fixed. I felt like the NHL was a little bit defiant and dismissive yesterday, but who cares?
You know what? I would disagree, Hendu. Did you listen to Colin Campbell?
I did listen to him, and I felt like he was better.
I think he was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think he was better. But earlier in the day, there were some tweets and some releases that I felt just weren't maybe as
forthcoming,
or
about their fault in this.
Yeah. So, but whatever.
Barring them saying, hey, St. Louis, we're sorry, we're going to get everybody back to the rink and finish this properly, barring that, no one's going to be happy.
Well, right. And so then as Jimmy and I were hanging out yesterday and we were talking with some of our buddies, you know, I was just like, you know what? I want the NHL to, like, not handle this appropriately. I want them to I want them to suck with their press releases and their press conferences, and I want the Blues to...
Hendu wants to be mad at somebody.
No, I don't. I want the Blues just to...
He wants his pound of flesh.
I want the Blues just to... Just never get. I don't want them to apologize in the temperature level of the Blues to lower. I want it to just keep rising, because I'm telling you pros are different breed. And when you guys get pissed and you're good, good things happen. And
I don't disagree with that. And I don't think anybody's left pissed today because Colin Campbell said, yeah, the official should have got it right.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, you know.
I get it, but I just think that the Blues, these guys are
I'm so excited for the game tonight. I got chills. Like, I'm so pumped for this game tonight. I'm going to have to find something to do all day to keep my mind off. I'm going to have to go do yard work or something.
You should just brush your hair all day.
Come on, man. Don't, you guys are also jealous of this flowing locks.
Rivs, before you go, I think... And again, you know, you can't get 100% commitment, but Kimby said to tell you, Les Nessman.
Oh,
he said, tell Les Nessman there that I'm going to be in the studio on Monday. So if you can pry yourself away from your other duties at other places, if you'd like to come join him, his intention is to be here Monday. I'm just letting you know.
Holy shit. Imagine the size of that cranium and that new little studio. There, we'll be passing out lack of oxygen before the halfway point. My Lord.
Hey, let me give us a little preview on tonight's broadcast. What jacket are you wearing tonight?
Oh.
Wow. You know what? I haven't decided.
Yeah.
just yet. Okay. Usually, as I stare at my closet,
his wife hasn't laid it out yet. That's what that's code for.
No. I would give credit to her if she did it for sure. But I usually stand there, stare. I usually pick the tie first, as crazy as that sounds, because if I see a tie that I like, I'm like, okay, what can I match that up to?
Yeah.
Try to find a shirt, and then with the shirt, I'm like, let's see what I need for a jacket tonight. Yeah. And I only break out the rally jackets every so often when I feel like we really need it,
yeah.
Like the bright blue one and the checkered one and some other things. Like, those are rally jackets.
Okay.
I don't know necessarily if we need a rally jacket tonight. I think tonight should take care of itself.
So what are you thinking tonight? Like sophisticated, like, you know, your classic kind of jacket tie? Or
we're going to go like navy blue blazer because I always try to wear something blue.
Yeah.
Obviously in theme for the blues.
All right.
One thing you'll never see me do is ever wear a shirt or a tie or anything with colors of the opposition that they're playing.
Yeah, don't do that.
I never do that. So it's always something blue on and... I don't know. I'm going to be looking for a pop of color. I feel like tonight should be a flashy night. Like, we should, like, smack people in the face with some color.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, Twitter's alive with what's Jamie going to wear. I think that hashtag, what's Riv's going to wear, might get some traction. I'm telling you.
Wow. Well, now I might have to take it seriously.
That's what I'm saying, man. There's some pressure on you now. Sorry, buddy, but you got to look good.
I think
good.
I can handle it.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, Rivs, I know you got to go. I know we got 1,000 things going on. You got 1,000 things going on. But the hope here is that Monday we will be talking about a series in our favor, and that will allow us to ultimately put our chairs right next to Hindu's.
My chair's there, buddy.
Hindu said his chair is still on market and he's ready to roll. So I know that you and I aren't putting ours there just quite yet. And Kimby is, one day his chair's there, one day it's not.
It's there, but he didn't unfold it.
Oh, it's there, but he didn't take it out of the bag. Okay. Yeah. Well, Rivs, we appreciate it. Of course, you come to us each week. Thanks to your wonderful operation that does so much for youth hockey here in St. Louis. And now we're going to be doing something fun for the adults, as has been requested. So tell us real quick before you go about that adult camp coming up through SynergyHockeySkills.com.
Yeah, we got the adult skills, spills, and thrills camp coming up for Synergy Hockey. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the on-ice stuff that we do is going to be identical to what I do with the NHL guys when we're getting them ready for the year. Obviously, the intensity and the pace will probably be a little different. However, the education of what the skills are and how to accomplish them will be the same, and we're going to have a great group of guys out there that are going to be instructing. And then, of course, just like any adult hockey or league or any kind of adult event, we will have some beverages following that, and we will have some laughs, and there will be story time with Uncle Creepy, and there will be hopefully lots of laughs, lots of sore muscles, and a real good time at the end of it. You know, it's going to be on SynergyHockeySkills.com. You can find it under camp, and click on that one, and let's go have some fun.
It's going to be a good time. Hey, one last thing, too, before you go. How about our buddy Noel Buckingham again? Buckingham Pest Control. Okay. Game 6 tickets again. So we've been running this contest. We're going to remind everybody how to do it very quickly. You like Blues NHL Podcast Facebook page. You like Buckingham Pest Control Facebook page. Go to Buckingham Pest Control and the pinned post will tell you exactly how to win the contest. How about Noel again with Game 6? He's got a Game 6 thing going on here, doesn't he?
Well, he's got it going, and why would he mess with success, right? Why would he change it? I know he's a little superstitious. He's a big Blues fan, so he's not going to screw it up, and I can't believe he's doing it. Pretty damn impressive, that's for sure.
Let me tell you, he's a tremendous class act. There's no doubt about it, and I love what they're doing. They, you know, we always say, you know, they do
kill pests, but not penalties. And they pass the savings on to you. I was wondering, when we scored the power play goal the other night, I was looking for Noel to see if we did dress him up in a uniform and put him in front of the net. But that's not how it went down. But he's an awesome guy. His wife's just a great lady. They've got a fantastic business going there. And everybody needs pest control. Let's face it. I mean, if you don't, you're going to have bugs crawling around your house all over the place.
Your wife needs pest control.
Okay, here we go.
I was going to say, it's kind of funny and ironic that every time Noel comes in, Gary doesn't show up.
Yeah, that hair of his, that rat's nest. Hey,
I know
it's
where,
like, you know, you can, I know, evil.
I know where my danger zones are.
Your danger zones? Oh, yeah. Jiminy Christmas.
Danger zones. Well. If we're talking about pets in there, Gary, my God.
Well, I can tell you that it goes without saying that just a great company led by great people that we are so fortunate to have involved here. And we do want to send them a shout out for providing these contests through our show and along with their great company, Buckingham Pest Control. So folks, you have no excuse not to enter this contest. It doesn't cost you anything. And who doesn't want to go to game 6? Because Gary says Blues in 6.
Damn right I do.
There we go.
All right. So there's the contest. Thanks to our friend Noel Buckingham. And, of course, one last time, give them an opportunity for your business. It means a lot to us here on the show as it helps keep us on the air if we take care of the people that take care of us. That's Buckingham Pest Control. All right, Rivs, get out of here. I guess we'll see you in studio Monday. I don't know.
I hope so. We'll see. I'll move some things around, and especially if old Tatanka is going to be in there. I don't want to miss it.
All right, my friend. Good luck on your jacket selection tonight, and we'll see you on air.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
All right, the man, the myth, the legend. He's tremendous, but great stuff as always. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We enjoyed bringing it to you. I want to thank all of our partners one last time. Again, you heard us talk about Buckingham Pest Control. Go to their Facebook page, check out their pin post, details out exactly what you got to do. And again, folks, we can't ask you enough times. Please, please use them for your pest services. It means a lot to us. I have to ask you guys to do that because these are the people that help us keep the show on the air. Just like our friend Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com, his residential, commercial, and industrial services are second to none. Construction, heating and cooling, electric team ready and fired up for a man with 35 years experience, a second generation craftsman, and somebody that still believes that his word is his bond. So, guys, that's Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. To the best barbecue in St. Louis, Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Get over there, try out that best barbecue, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To our friends, NelsonLandServices.com, all the great work that they do in the amateur community, including their willingness to take on a large role in helping these kids that play hockey that are stricken by this terrible disease of cancer. They do great work. Again, 5-star locally rated company that does amazing things. Give them an opportunity for your business, folks. We cannot thank them enough as well. Check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. Follow us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook. That's Blues NHL Podcast. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Make sure you like, comment, and share our pinned post. That's the show that helps us reach a bigger community. Instagram as well, Blues NHL Podcast. Follow us there. Thank you to lineupmediagroup.fm for all they do for the show. It means a lot to us. And, of course, make sure you download Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.